great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame.
Leonard Peltier may have played in it, but someone has to pay for the crime. nights that I lay in my cell and can't understand why this hell and this terror that I've been going through for 21 years hasn't ended.
Trabajo para el inglés, trabajo de carretero, sudando por un dinero que en la mano no se ve. Basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. El yanqui vive en palacio, yo vivo en un barracón. El yanqui vive en palacio, yo vivo en un barracón. ¿Cómo es posible que viva el yanqui mejor que yo? Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. ¿Qué pasa con mis hermanos de México y Panamá? ¿Qué pasa con mis hermanos de México y Panamá? Sus padres fueron esclavos, sus hijos no lo serán. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Yo de pequeño aprendí a luchar por esa paz. Yo de pequeño aprendí a luchar por esa paz. De grande lo repetí y a la cárcel fui a parar. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. ¿Quién ha ganado la guerra en los montes del Vietnam? ¿Quién ha ganado la guerra en los montes del Vietnam? el guerrillero en su tierra y el yanqui en el cinema. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Basta ya, basta ya, basta ya.
Experiences no language barriers, for the language that the gorilla speaks with is love. A love that can transcend all cultural boundaries or so-called boundaries or things that separate or categorize us. The gorilla speaks in the language of love, as did Gandhi, as did Jesus, as did Che, as did Malcolm, as did many of our ancestors. That is the power and the language of the gorilla.
That was Saul Williams, one of those legendary Blue magazine CDs that we're so lucky to still have. We started the show with a prayer by Dakota Elder Melvin Gray Owl, followed by a song by Robbie Robertson, Sacrifice, with the words of Leonard Peltier, our indigenous warrior who is behind bars in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and is ready to complete 30 years of imprisonment for defending his people and his land. This weekend, there's been a tremendous historical event happening in Bolivia, and the first indigenous president has been elected. In the mainstream media and even in some alternative media like our trusted Democracy Now!, all that has been said is that he has proclaimed himself the winner. And that is not what we hear from South America. I have talked to several people in Argentina and Bolivia, Peru, Brazil, And they're all very happy and saying, Evo won, not he proclaimed himself the president. So the other thing that we're hearing is that he will be a puppet for President Chavez of Venezuela. And this is the main point we will address when we talk with the representative of the Venezuelan government in a few minutes. Before that, I wanted to read something by Che Guevara, because we think that this step that is taking place in Bolivia is at least in its start as a seed, the beginning of Che Guevara's dream when he was killed in Bolivia. This is Fiery Prophet of the Dawn. Let's go, Fiery Prophet of the Dawn, down winding secret paths to free the green land that you love. Let's go to avenge many wrongs, our foreheads full of rebel stars, swearing to win or die. When the first shot is heard and the land wakes up, like a girl startled out of sleep, we'll be there by your side. Calm warriors will be there. When your voice proclaims to the four winds, land, reform, justice, bread, and freedom, we'll be there to echo your words. We'll be there. The day the wild beast is wounded in its side by our liberating aim, we'll be with you, ears full of pride, hearts full of pride. We'll be there. Don't think that they can make us tremble. Armed with gifts and decorations, we want the rifle, bullets, a stick, nothing more. And if their rifles mow us down, we only ask for Cuban tears as winding sheets for fighters washed away by the flow of history, nothing more. That was written by Che Guevara for Fidel Castro. So please stick around. And you're listening to the Tashunka Witko Brigade on Free Radio Olympia, your unlicensed effort.
We're still a long way off.
Not if we take the shortcut through Diablo Pass.
Diablo Pass? That's Sioux territory, Jesse. We go up through there, we're not going to have no help from no soldiers if we get into trouble.
The red man ain't got no problem with the black man. As for you, white boy, that's a whole different story, I mean. First you enslave the black man, exploit the yellow man, and then you kill off the red man so you can snatch up his land.
We'll be right back.
gorilla doesn't necessarily take arms to resist. A gorilla looks inside of themselves, and they may use their words. They may use their movement. They may use their spirit in any fashion, way, or form in order to combat that which is turned against them. Gorillaism is not necessarily based in a warfare that is laden with steel and concrete and bullets and such. It's often laden with words. It's always laden with love and heavily laden with a vision.
Sandals, J's lit from spit candle wicks, pulled to lips, crackers pent the film clips of the whole six, busting lips and slam pits. Hip hop got to the mountain top, too hot to breathe and stop. Chase cop, hustle coke and pot, and find goblin on lock, praying to Tupac. And gambling socks, white or black, stress is wet cats, sucked in the social pack. Things like that, but yeah, what if they not in this third rock drop? What if lies drive the crops? What if God don't love cops? Of course he do, better than me and you. Brothers and sisters lost in lieu. I found clues, I keep the blues like a Thailand Drew with a drunk painter's muse. Free your mind and your crew.
Look at the state of things, look at the cages that they got us in. Sold up like some moccasins, they was forced to rot up in the same piece. They had our mothers and our fathers in the wardens of baseball. I feel like Jackie Robinson. Look at the state of things, look at the cages that they got us in. Sold up like some moccasins, they was forced to rot up in the same piece. They had our mothers and our fathers in. CO's a basket case, I'm feeling alive as Iverson.
No! I'm a peaceful man! Shut up! You're a cop killer!
I am innocent. I've been wrongfully accused.
Guilt or innocent, that's not my job. It's my duty to pick up scum-sucking punks like yourself who are accused of a crime. A jury of 12 really stupid people who are easily swayed by rich, fat, dead, slimy lawyers who do anything but tell the truth will sit in judgment of you.
May God have mercy on his soul.
Listening to the Tashunka, excuse me, Tashunka Wetco Brigade. And on the phone, we have Omar Sierra from the Venezuelan Consulate of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela in Chicago.
Paola.
Sí.
Okay. Más o menos como cuánto dura la entrevista.
¿Cuánto tiempo tengas?
Ah, bueno, no está bien, dale pues.
Bueno, we might be jumping from English to Spanish, so we apologize out there, but it's good for your ears. We first wanted to talk about the election of Evo Morales in Bolivia. As indigenous people, we are very excited about this development. But of course, the media, the mainstream media, and some alternative media is not portraying this event as something positive. Two things that are negative and have been put out from the start are that Evo Morales has declared himself a winner and not that he's a true winner. And the second point is that he will be a puppet for President Chavez. What are your comments on this, Omar?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I'm really, really happy about the victory of Evo Morales. I consider he's a true fighter. He has been, you know, he has been a human rights fighter for so long, defending the rights of indigenous people, of the farmers, of the people who traditionally has been excluded from the benefits of the wealth that Bolivia has, you know. So in that sense, obviously, I cannot hide it. You know, I cannot hide my preferences. I'm so happy about his victory. However, that it doesn't mean that the Venezuelan government has anything to do with the internal situation in Bolivia. The vice president of Venezuela said yesterday that, yes, obviously we are really happy about it, but it doesn't mean that Venezuela has any influence, you know. I believe that, this is my opinion, that the Bolivian process is something very original, is something that comes from the internal contradiction of the Bolivian society, as well as the Venezuelan process. So many people have said that Chavez is a puppet of Cuba, of Fidel Castro. You know, they are always trying to compare, to make comparison between different revolutions. But the revolutions are not something that coming from outside. There's some things that are coming from the internal situation, the internal social contradiction of a country. So to say that everyone will be a puppet of President Chavez, it's like saying that Venezuela is like somehow responsible of the internal contradiction in Bolivia, which is not true, you know. We all know the situation of marginalization, you know.
Marginalization
and oppression that indigenous people, not only in Bolivia, we're talking about around the world, even in my own country. They have been suffering for more than 500 years. So to say that this is something coming from outside, that is completely ignorant, you know, point of view. This is what I think.
You're mentioning that the process is that the outcome that just came out from, like, the election of Evo Morales and the presidency of Hugo Chavez are different. How is that? How are these processes in those countries different?
Well, I may say that the process in Bolivia is very original. Bolivia is, there's too many differences between Venezuela and Bolivia. For example, in the issue of the economy, you know, Venezuela, the majority of the population in Venezuela is concentrating in urban areas more than, I think I might say, more than the 80-85% of the population living in urban areas. There are different issues in Venezuela that are priority. For example, the improvement of the living condition in the shantytowns surrounding the main areas. That is one of the main things that's happening. Also, obviously, we are concerned about the land distribution in the countryside. And there is a huge battle, struggle going on right now to redistribute the land. But when you take a look at Bolivia, the situation there is completely different. Bolivia is a country where the majority of the population are indigenous, and not only that, but also the percent of the population living in the countryside, living from the agricultural economy, is much, much bigger than Venezuela. So that's when I'm talking about that you cannot import revolutions, or you cannot import solutions from other countries, it's because every country in Latin America has its own particularities. You know, so that's what I mean when I say that the situation in Bolivia is very regional.
Okay, here at the Tashunkawit Brigade, we're big fans of revolution, and we're dedicating this show to Che Guevara because we think his dream is finally has a chance to come true in Bolivia, where he was murdered. I would like for you to comment on that and just tell the people out there what the Bolivarian Revolution is about, since all they hear is the demonization that the mainstream media in this country puts out.
Yes, there is a first media campaign against Venezuela, not only at the local level in Venezuela itself, but also at the international level. I believe that this demonization is because we are trying to change the status quo. We are trying to change the situation of social exclusion and exploitation that the huge majority of Venezuelan people have been suffering for decades. And when you are trying to do that, obviously not everyone going to be happy with that, especially the people who has a lot a strong economic power and very strong ties with the political establishment that used to govern in Venezuela during the last four decades. So when you are trying to change those situations or those social relations of exploitation, obviously you're going to get in conflict with the people who are with the people who are in the other side. I'm talking about the big land owners, for example. I'm talking about the big capitalist media moguls that are. Now they, for the first time, they had to pay taxes, things like that. You know, people who has been getting benefits from the oil during more than 40 decades, when the majority of the population has been excluded. So when you are trying to take it from them and to give to the real owners, who is the majority of the population, obviously not everyone gonna be happy. And those groups that have international connections too, and that's why we have this situation of media campaign. Take a look at the United States, for example. There is a Spanish broadcasting chain here in the United States called Univision.
Yeah.
That company is owned by Gustavo Cisneros, who is one of the he has been accused in Venezuela as being part of the finance, one of the main financiers of the coup d'état against President Chavez. And when you take a look at the news, the kind of news that they report from Venezuela is totally something completely negative. You know, they never mention a single improvement. They never mention that we got a prize from the UNESCO just a few months ago because Venezuela is a territory free of illiteracy. They never mention that our economy grew 17.5% last year. You know, things like that, they never mention that. Just always highlighting the negative things. I'm not saying that there are no negative things in Venezuela. Of course not. But what I'm saying is that it's obviously there is completely, is a completely manipulation of the public opinion what they are doing.
During the not so long ago cumbre del pueblo, the summit of the people in Argentina, which is my original country, what was said here. Of course, what was highlighted was the violence, and the people I interviewed from Argentina said that the violence was a minimal thing, was a sideline, and it was done by people that wanted to disrupt. And the other thing that I heard was that they blamed President Chavez's speech on the violence. And again, the people in Argentina tell me that was not the case at all, that the speech was loved by the people. The whole country in Argentina stopped what they were doing to listen to President Chavez, and he really reached their hearts. I just wanted you to comment on that, and also the results. There are people that, I mean, I don't know how much you can comment on this, but there are people in South America that applaud the resistance that people, countries like Argentina, Brazil, and Venezuela held their ground, and they did not allow the ALCA to go through. but they fear retaliation from the U.S. government. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that the media tend to always say that the violence is made by extremists, but they never talk about the reasons why. It's the same like in the summit of the ONC in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
They only highlight the violence, but why? You know, why are the people so angry? Why the people were so angry in Argentina? You know, we have to talk not about the consequences, but we have to talk about the real roots of the problem. What is the roots of the problem? Why is the people is angry in Argentina? Well, Argentina was a country that implemented the Washington Consensus. They follow what the IMF says, you know, completely. And what happened with their economy? What happened when they went to bankruptcy? So that's why the people is angry in Argentina. They are angry against a system, you know. And those contradictions are the things that we really have to talk about. It's the same in the ONC. Why is the people so angry against the ONC? I mean, obviously the people react sometimes with violence, but why is the people so angry? So I think those are the reasons that the media always ignore. I mean, they don't talk about the debate of ideas. They only highlight, you know, in Spanish we call that amarillismo periodístico. Mm-hmm. I don't know how my head translated that in English.
Yeah, in English it's also yellow journalism, same thing.
Exactly. But they never talk about the roots, the real reasons of why the people are angry. I think that's the thing that we have to talk about. That should be the real debate. Why we are opposing the ALCA. What are the consequences for the small farmers, for example, if we sign an ALCA? You know, what are going to be the consequences for majority of the poor population? Who's going to get the benefits if we sign the ALCA? That's the real things that we have to talk about, I think. And the media never talk about that. You know, they always, as you say, they only highlight the violence, but they never say why. You know?
Would you like to comment on the just... In broad strokes, the difference between the ALCA and the ALBA and how it affects, they would both affect the people.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to highlight that I'm not an economist, I have read a lot of information regarding the ALBA. The ALBA is basically what the ALBA is looking for is an agreement based on solidarity. It tends to be based only for making profits. That's the main difference of the ALBA. Things like this, I'm going to give you just a small example. Venezuela was in need to repair the tankers, and they used to send the tankers to countries in the north to be repaired. Because it was a little cheaper, and it was an economic decision. But when President Chavez went to Argentina, for example, and he met with workers, how can I say the people who works at the astilleros,
uh-huh.
who build and repair tankers. How can I say that? They have a specific name, right?
I don't know.
If I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. So when Chavez went there and he met with them, they told President Chavez that they were in need of work because the government was about to privatize the astilleros because they didn't have customers, they didn't have ships to build, ships to repair. So President Chavez shipyard workers, shipyard workers. So President Chavez took the decision of send those tankers to Argentina instead to send them to the north. So perhaps the Venezuelan government gonna pay a little more because the distance is a little longer. But this is not only about money. We are helping those workers in Argentina. And they are building ships for Venezuela, ships that are full of quality, and also it has a political meaning because we are supporting workers there. And the same thing is happening with Uruguay, for example, or the same thing is happening with Cuba. Venezuela has agreements not only with Cuba but with a lot of countries in the Caribbean, providing oil in preferential conditions. And we are getting, for example, in the case of Cuba, we are getting help with doctors, very qualified doctors with a very a long tradition of working in third world countries. So they know how the work is in the shanty towns, how the work is in the Amazon when the indigenous people with the farmers in the countryside. They don't care if they have to go to the jungle. They don't hear you. They got to go to the mountains, to the shanty towns. So Cuba's helping us with doctors, and we are helping them with energy. So those kinds of agreements, you know, are more based in solidarity than in making profits. And that is the main difference that we are talking about when we are talking about ALCA. When we see the ALCA, we see something that is going to benefit only the big corporations instead of the ALBA, which is something focusing in helping people. I mean, we have to stop seeing the economy only as something abstract, only talking about numbers and percents and things like that. We're talking about human beings. I mean, the economy has an impact in human beings. We cannot separate one thing from another. When we're talking about economy, we have to incorporate the human beings on that. And when we're talking about ALBA, we are talking about human beings.
That's great. That's all very exciting. And our hope is also that when Evo Morales becomes the Bolivian president, Bolivia will also be added to that group that is working in solidarity and making those economies grow. I also know that outside those agreements with the Latin American countries, Venezuela is also helping the poor communities here and the indigenous communities specifically on oil, cheap oil, heating oil, and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, those programs are sponsored by CITGO. CITGO is a company that belongs to the PDVSA, which is a state-owned company or the state-owned oil company in Venezuela. And those programs are pilot programs. This is just at the beginning of those programs. One of them is working in New York, actually, with some specific communities in the Bronx, which is one of the poorest counties in New York. I think it's the poorest country, actually, in New York. And it's also working with some communities in Boston. And it is my understanding, unfortunately, I don't have the exact details, but we are still waiting. CITGO is going to write down a report about it. We are very excited to read the details. But I see it is my understanding that there are conversations right now with some nations that are located near the points where CITGO is put these programs to work in order to incorporate them to the programs. I hope that this program if everything goes fine with this, I hope this program going to extend to other regions of the country, especially where CITGO has distribution points. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. The last thing I wanted to ask you about is what are the programs that the government of Venezuela has for indigenous people, their inclusion in the government and the return of the land?
Oh, yes. What Venezuela is doing right now is President Chavez creating a mission. When President Chavez decided to attack the root of a specific problem, he, with his military background, called his mission. For example, the mission that brings health, free health care to everyone is called Mission Barrio Adentro, which means inside the neighborhood. Those are the Cuban doctors that are living inside the communities.
So I just wanted to clarify, Omar.
Robinson, for example, is a mission dedicated to eradicate illiteracy, which has been completely successful. In the case of the indigenous population, the mission is called Mission Huacaipuro. Huacaipuro was an Indian chief in my country. He was he's a hero. I mean, he fight back the Spaniards for decades, and he kept Venezuela safe from invasion from decades until he was killed. And that's a long story the way he killed. But he's considered a hero in Venezuela. Even his remains symbolically were brought to the Panteón Nacional. Panteón Nacional is a historic building where the rest of the independence fighters are located, such as Simón Bolívar, who is considered the father of the homeland. And so Huacaipuro is also there. that's very symbolic to bring the remains of an indigenous hero to the Panteón Nacional. And so Mission Huaycaipuro is named in honor of Huaycaipuro, and this mission is working together with indigenous communities, hacer un registro, you know, like to make an inventory of the lands that were traditionally part of those communities, and began the process of expropriation and giving back to them. When we are talking about expropriation, I think it's not the right terminology, because we cannot talk about expropriation, what is something that was used to belong to them. So we might say recuperation. I might say we're going to be the right terminology. So the government is in the process of to recover the land, and obviously it's not a question of just giving the land and forget about economic support, about technical assistance for agricultural production. So when we are talking about a mission that is giving back land, it is also in connection with all this kind of help. We are talking about, you know, roads, we are talking about markets, you know, helping them to produce with technical assistance, technical and also academic preparation for them to put the land to work. So that mission is working very successful right now. Unfortunately, I don't have the numbers, but I hope this is my understanding that a delegation of indigenous activists are traveling to Venezuela for the social forum, and we are making the contacts for them to stay with indigenous communities there. Probably they're going to have the opportunity to witness by themselves how this mission is working.
Okay, thank you so much. Before you hang up, I would like to just ask you to tell people what you do. What is your job in the Venezuelan consulate?
Well, I am the first consul. Martin Sanchez is the general consul, I am the first consul, so next in line. And we are located here in Chicago, but we have jurisdiction on the seven states. So we are providing assistance for people who's traveling to Venezuela, and also assistance to the Venezuelan citizens living in this area. You know, with the regular work that a consulate is always doing regarding paperwork, birth certificates, and you know, those kind of paperwork. But also, I think the most important work that we are doing here is that we want to make friendly relationships with the social movements, with community organizations, with people we feel identified with them. We are fighting the same struggle. We have so many things in common, so such as the social justice and those kind of things. And in order to explain them what's really happening in Venezuela, to counteract this negative media campaign that we are talking about, I think that is one of the most important jobs that we have to do to combat that media campaign. Programs like this, it helps a lot for our purposes. Also, we organize documentaries, video forums. We organize travels to Venezuela. Last week, we were in three different places, two universities and one community center and one church, where we show a documentary about Venezuela. We were talking about what's really happening there. And we are also sending a delegation of 40 young people. They are going to travel on January 12th to January 22nd. They are going to be there working with the farmers' co-ops. They are going to be sharing an experience of direct contact with the organized community there in Venezuela. So those kind of issues that we do, you know, to try to build bridges, puentes, between our countries.
Okay. Well, the Tashunkawitko Brigade would like to thank you so much for your time, and we want you to pass on to the rest of the government, including President Chavez, our most respectful appreciation. We know he also has indigenous blood, and we're very proud that he's heading this amazing revolution.
Yeah, he's very proud of that. Whenever he has the opportunity, he mentioned that, his indigenous roots. Yeah.
Okay. We hope to be part of one of those delegations that goes to Venezuela eventually, and so we can cover what's happening from the ground, from your beautiful country.
We're trying to bring some indigenous activists from Venezuela. We are in the process of trying to get the visa for them to come here. And I will let you know as soon as I have the information, because we would like them to travel and to meet with the indigenous people living here in the States.
Well, thank you so much, Omar, and we will be talking to you some more later. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Teniendo rancho y caballo, es más liviana la pena. Teniendo rancho y caballo, es más liviana la pena. De todo aquello que tuve, solo el recuerdo me queda. De todo aquello que tuve, solo el recuerdo me queda. Nada más. Nada más. No tengo cuentas con Dios, mis cuentas son con los hombres. No tengo cuentas con Dios, mis cuentas son con los hombres. Yo rezo en el llano abierto y me hago león en el monte. Yo rezo en el llano abierto y me hago león en el monte. Nada más, nada más. Me gusta mirarlo al hombre plantado sobre la tierra. Me gusta mirarlo al hombre plantado sobre la tierra. Como una piedra en la cumbre, como un faro en la ribera. Como una piedra en la cumbre, como un faro en la ribera. Nada más, nada más. Alguna gente se muere para volver a nacer. Alguna gente se muere para volver a nacer. El que tenga alguna duda, que se lo pregunte al Che. Y el que tenga alguna duda, que se lo pregunte al Che. Nada más, nada más.